I watched a video Monday. I just got distracted, and it was on YouTube, and it was about a guy. They called them savants. Does everybody know what that word means? Okay? They made a movie called Rain Man, and Tom Cruise starred in it, and it was about a real person, a man that had, he was autistic, and he had lots of other things going on with him, and he was in a home, and his brother ended up with him because his parents died, and he didn't want him, but anyway, somebody dropped a whole box of matches on the floor, and instantly he knew exactly how many there were. And this guy's ability started emerging to where they realized that numbers were it for him. One part of his brain, because the rest of his brain didn't work very well, one part of his brain worked exceptionally well, and you could give him any kind of complicated math formula, and he could do it quicker than a calculator, quicker than an abacus. And that was just his gift. Well, I watched one the other day about a young man in England. He was born about 3 months premature. And he was born blind. He was born severely deficient. He was born with autism. And he didn't learn to walk till he was 5. And to this day, he's a full-grown adult. But he cannot feed himself. He cannot take care of himself and so on. But not too long after he was 5 years old, he heard someone playing a piano, and he ran over to it and pushed the little kid that was playing the piano out of the way and just started playing. And they were amazed. They put him in a school of music for the deaf, and they started working with him. And his ability to hear music is like our ability to discern the colors that are in this room. We take it all in, and he focuses only on music. And he could play anything. He hears it one time, and he has absolute perfect knowledge of it that second. They took him to a school of music, and they were testing him. And the lady there played an etude for piano, about 3 minutes long, that he had never heard before. And he came over to the piano, and he played it note for note, absolutely perfect. And then, after playing it a while, then he started adding to it. They tested him, a professor tested him with playing notes on a piano, and then he would play the notes, started out with 2 notes, 3 notes, and not like chord notes, really obscure notes, almost like you were just mashing your hands on the piano. And the professor would play 6 or 7 notes at a time, and then he would instantly play those notes. And then he tried all 10 fingers in a predisposed pattern that he knew, and he hit those keys, and the guy just touched those keys and played every one of them exactly perfect. Then they sat him in front of a 50-piece orchestra, and every string, every horn, every flute, they're all playing different notes. And they started out simple, playing just simple chords, and then they got to where they were actually playing, all the different pieces were playing more notes than what he had fingers. And what he did was they played it, and then he sat down and rolled every one of those notes out perfectly. And I'm just watching this near tears, because this young man has this unique ability that nobody else on the planet has. Everything else has been taken away from him except this one thing, and it's just absolutely a genius at it. Nobody else can do this, and it's just amazing to me. And so, you know, there's a lesson in this. I'm sure it is. What I know about God and what I know about the Scriptures, not all of us bear the same burdens. Not all of us bear the same thorns. Not all of us bear the same issues in life. But I promise you, there's a rose in among your thorns. Okay? And God has selected that for each one of us. Everybody's got a gift. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches that very, very plainly. Not everybody's gift. I'm sitting here watching this kid going, I'm lucky if I can play one song out of the hymn book, one verse, without my finger rolling off on some note that doesn't belong there. I can't do that. And but I have my thorns, my issues, but I also have my gifts, my rose. That's you. I don't care who you are. Okay? And don't worry about trying to have somebody else's rose. And don't want somebody else's thorn either. Because you don't know what it's like to bear that. Can I hear God's people say amen? Take your Bible and turn two places. Genesis 1, that's what's up on the screen. And go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. There's a blessing there tonight. I got so much I want to show you, and I know that there's no way in the world I want to get this all in tonight. Because I just like to visit in the Bible and just go different places and look at what it says. This is our journey through the new creation, Genesis chapter 1. This is how God created everything, and I believe it word for word. And we were talking in the office about the lunacy of evolution. Okay, let me help you with that. Okay, and I can understand. You know, we've been taught evolution all our life. It's taught in all the schools, all the colleges, universities. Everybody, and it seems like everybody in the world believes it, and hardly anybody believes the Bible anymore. But let me just encourage you with something. Okay, let me just kind of narrow it down for a little bit. Okay, I want you to, in your mind, I want you to pick one species of either plant or animal. That plant could be a rose, that plant could be a daffodil, it could be poison ivy, it could be a tree, it could be whatever it is you want it to be. Or you can pick an animal of some kind. It could be a fish, it'd be a worm, it'd be a cow, it'd be a human. Okay? I want you to pick one species. Does anybody know how many different species of animals and plants there are on the world right now? And I'm talking from the largest one that we know of, like a blue whale, all the way down to the smallest microbe. Okay, does anybody know, just guess at how many different species of animals there are in plants? Probably tens of thousands. Let's say 100,000. 100,000 different kinds of plants and different kinds of animal life on this planet right now. Different species. Okay, let's just pick one. One species. Let's pick a dog. Okay, dogs, they're uniquely adapted to the world they live in. Dogs normally are not designed to live in your house, pampered and sheltered. At their core, they are a wild species adapted to live and thrive outside of your home and you feeding them every day. Okay? Dogs are designed with the proper teeth, the proper skills, the proper nose, the proper appetite. They are scavengers. Dogs will eat just about anything they can get their paws on. And if they happen to find something dead, they can eat it. If they happen to find something, kill it, they can eat it. But they're uniquely adapted to be able to do that. I want you to think of their eyes. I want you to think of their heart system. I want you to think of the fact that they can eat rotten food that you and I can't eat would make us sick. But they are made to eat things that you and I would kill us if we ate it. They're made to eat that. Okay? Evolution wants you to believe that the dog that I just described for you is the product of over a million different genetic accidents. That from the first cell that was formed, and they cannot explain this one to me, because a cell, in order to get a cell, just one cell out of your body to do what it's supposed to do, and that is reproduce itself and continue to live long enough to reproduce itself, it requires DNA, it requires a mitochondria for energy, it requires all kinds of, it requires a system to remove waste, it requires a system to take in food and light, it requires a system that will maintain itself and then reproduce itself. And they cannot tell me that lightning struck a pool of goo and made a cell that instantaneously was able to reproduce itself. But that's what they're working on answers for that now. Okay? Then, they want us to believe that a dog is the product of over a million genetic accidents. In other words, its early DNA 3 million years ago only made a little squid creature in the ocean. And over time, accidents occurred in its DNA And that dog formed lungs, somehow ended up on land. That dog then formed the different various traits that it has right now. They want you to believe that that dog thrives in its world right now without human intervention, and it's the product of millions of genetic accidents. Not purpose, not anything designed on purpose. It happened by chance. That's what they want you to think. Okay? In spite of the fact that we don't have millions of these various forms of the dog showing up in the fossil record, we don't have that. But that's what they want you to believe. Now, compound that same scenario, one species, by all of the species that exist on this planet right now. Over, let's say, over 1,000, over 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 different species, all of which grew apart from one another, developed common genetic accidents over time to be able to be in the world that we live right now. And the world is sort of in a balance. If there's too much of one species, another species will eat it and reduce it. I mean, it just works that way. In spite of the fact of what each particular species is able to do both for itself and then provide for nature. Flowers that cannot reproduce and produce fruit without bees doing it. Trees that cannot reproduce themselves well without squirrels carrying nuts from place to place. Beggar lice that's just waiting for a ride in the woods. Dandelions waiting for the wind. All of these things happened accidentally. Millions and millions of accidents happening. No. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God did it. God wrote it all out. God designed it all. In 1 week's time, God designed everything. See, it's easier for me to believe that than for me to believe that all of this is the result of millions upon millions of spontaneous accidents over time. I don't buy it. Never will. Amen? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? Day 4. So, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now, again, how many stars are there in the heavens? How many? Innumerable. We cannot count them. We have computers trying to count them all right now. Cannot count them all. There is no way, no way scientifically we will be able to count every star in every galaxy in every area of a space that right now we cannot see the end of it. Okay? And yet God created them. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. I want you to notice 4 is the number here. This is day 4 of creation. 4 is the number here. Signs, seasons, days, years. That's important. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And just that's how we have it. We have a sun that rules over the day. We have a moon. It is a lesser light. And yet when it when the moon is in its strength, you can go outside at night and get around halfway decent. Okay? I used to scare people by turning the lights out while I was driving. The moon's full, right? That's back in a younger day when I didn't pay the insurance. Okay? Just turn the lights out and drive around. Hey, look at this. Okay? But anyway, you can kind of almost do it, but it's the lesser light that rules the night. He made the stars also. Now, in every part of this, there is a spiritual lesson here. We're going to try to learn these. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the 4th day. That number 4 is the biggest part of this, because remember, this is how God brings someone to Him. This is how God creates in them a new person, a new spirit. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. This is how God does it. And by the way, God does this every single day. Amen. Every day God does this. You wake up, the sun comes up. That's God that did that. He does it every single day. And God does a lot more than that. But that's what God does. Now what happens here now, God has given a source for the light. The light was at the beginning, God was drawing you. God was bringing you to the light, but there was no source to it. Now there's a source to it. Now you know that we're going to go to a place in the Bible. You're going to hear someone give Bible scriptures. You're going to hear a preacher preach the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now there's a source for this light, and that light is Jesus Christ. Look it up on the screen. Matthew 5. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." That is true. We are the light of the world. God established the church to be the light shining in a very dark world. Amen. Listen, now is not the time to hide the light. It's not time to hide the light. Right now is the time when people need it the most. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about how it's not politically correct to think the way you think and to say the things that you say and to talk the way you talk. Don't be ashamed of who you are. And then we have Jesus. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As long as I am in the world," John chapter 9, verse 5, "I am the light of the world." Now turn to Psalm 19 if you're not there already. This is one of those places in the Bible, there's no end to me digging stuff out of it. I love this passage. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." I'm going to show you a little bit tonight about how that works and what God shows in that. He said, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." And isn't that true? I mean, a lot of, we were talking in the office. You go out at night, look at those stars up there. You cannot say, "Boy, billions and billions of years ago, there was an explosion, and it formed all those, and they operate in a very systematic fashion so that if I go out in January at night, I see a completely different set of stars, although it is the same set of stars that I saw exactly this time last year. Then if I go out in June at midnight, I look up, I see a completely different set of stars than I did in January, and yet a year ago in June, it was the same set of stars. Don't give me that baloney that it exploded over 13, 14 billion years ago and that it systematically has an exact pattern to it every single day, every month, every season, and every year. It is the same. It can be counted on. Our forefathers used the stars and the moon and the sun to get around. They used that to plant. They used it for what the Bible said, for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And they kept track. Ancient astronomers, although they would worship those stars, they kept accurate records of the movement of the stars, the moon, the sun. They noticed that Venus was a star that didn't follow the rules that the other stars did. So they called it a wandering star. The Greek word is where we get the word planet from. The word planet means a wandering star. They noticed that Venus would sometimes come up in the morning, and then sometimes it would come up in the evening. And they noticed that. They also noticed that over a course of time, it's called the Venus transit. The planet Venus, you check this out. Over 8 years' time, the planet Venus will draw a nearly perfect five-pointed pentagram in the night sky, in the morning and the evening sky. Nearly perfect. It'll do it. Who did that? God did. God did that. They noticed that. They've been keeping these records for years. Okay? And so, day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. All you got to do is get up in the morning and watch that sun come up. Or in the evening, watch as God just paints the sky red and orange and yellow and sometimes a little purple is up in there. And you look at that in the evening sky and you're just going, God paints a picture better than any man has ever painted, using more colors and more brilliance, and He does it every single day. He's been doing it for years. Amen? There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is talking about their speech, their line, their verse is gone out through all the earth. and their words to the end of the world. And then hath he set a, now watch this, hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Because I got something to show you. Now, I don't know if I'll get to it tonight. I may just cheat and move ahead in my notes. Just to show you, when God builds a tabernacle, it doesn't matter if it's in the wilderness with Moses, or in Jerusalem with Solomon, or in the sky with the sun, or in our bodies. When God builds a tabernacle, all of them are exactly the same. Every one of them. Amen, John. Thank you for that. How come I always get the best amens from the guy that's not even here? He's up there. The man upstairs, right? Look at this. He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Who's the bridegroom?
Jesus.
Jesus is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. At 4:30 in the morning, he's in the chamber. At 5:30 in the morning, he's opening the door. At 6 o'clock, the door is open. By 7 o'clock, 7:30, he's out of the chamber. Okay? And rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He's going to run across the sky. And he does that every day. His going forth is from one end of the heaven, and his circuit means he goes in a circle. David knew this before the astronomers of his day knew that. Okay? They thought that the sun fell into the ocean. And that's why you saw those clouds in the night sky. Okay? That it fell into the ocean and went into the underworld and came up again. David is the only one that got it right. He said, no, he goes in a circuit. Back then, they didn't know about the other side of the world. But God did, because God designed it. Okay? And his going forth, one from heaven, his circuit to the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Do you know the sun shines in the North Pole? The South Pole? How long does it shine in the North Pole? Anybody know? 6 months. How long does it shine in the South Pole? 6 months. How is that possible? I'm going to show you that here in a little bit. Okay? Because not only, you write this down that I said it, not only does the sun rise east to west and does it again every day, it also rises from south to north and then back south again, and it does this every year. How many directions is that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And by the way, those four directions and the way the sun rises and sets east to west and then south, north, south again, they are the ones that mark the days and the four seasons that we have. You're looking at me funny. You ready? You want me to skip ahead and show it to you? Here you go. Everybody look up on the screen. Okay? There it is. On December 21st, the sun, relative to the position of the earth, is at its strength, shining over the Tropic of Cancer. The Tropic of Cancer is 23.5 degrees from the north of the equator. Now, since it's shining directly north, closer to us, why is it cold to us then? Why, Caleb? It's farther away. Because the circle is not perfectly 300, it's elliptical. It varies. Okay? So then, by the time we get to March 21st, the sun, at its highest point over the tropic, at 12 noon, if you were at the Tropic of Cancer at 12 noon, the sun would be directly overhead. Does everybody understand that? Okay, if you're at 23 degrees, which goes through northern Mexico, the sun would be overhead 12 noon. Okay? By the time March 21st comes around, the sun has started sliding southward again. And it takes 3 months. And from March the 21st to June the 21st, that's the summer solstice. I'm getting it wrong here. December 21st to March 21st. March 21st, that is called the equinox. The word equal is in the word equinox. That's because the sun at 12 noon is directly over the equator. Does everybody understand that? If you're at the equator, March 21st, 12 noon, sun's directly overhead. Or September 21st, because that's also an equinox. You have the vernal, the spring equinox, March 21st, first day of spring. You have the autumnal equinox, September 21st, first day of autumn. The sun, if you were on the equator, directly overhead at 12 noon. But it's still going south. So by the time you get to June 21st. Now it's over the Tropic of Capricorn, which is 23.5 degrees south of the equator. June 21st, then, it's the longest day of the year. Right? How long does it last? June 21st, for us here in the Midwest. What, about 9 o'clock? Yeah. I was up in New Brunswick, Canada, which is north of Maine, back in 1985. And I was there in June, and it did not get dark until after 11 o'clock at night. Okay? Those people are nuts up there. Anyway, okay? Huh? 23 hours. Okay? Yeah, good night. It's only an hour. Okay? So then, June 21st, it's over the Tropic of Capricorn. And June 21st, then, it's going to, right after June 21st, it's going to start rising again toward the north. And it's going to take 6 months so that by December 21st, it's risen north again. And then from December 21st back to June 21st, it's going back south again. Does that make sense? Okay. This is where we get, and everybody around the world gets their seasons. When God said that these lights would dictate the seasons, this is how it works. This is how it works. Those lights dictate our seasons. Long, hot summer days, short, cold winter days, long, cold winter nights. And everybody, we're tired of the heat, we get into fall, we're having fun, we get into winter, we're sick of the cold. And no sun. Amen? We need some vitamin K. So we can't wait for spring to show up. Now the days are equal. 12 hours in a day, 12 hours in a night. That's what the equinoxes are for. Amen. So do you believe now that the sun rises and sets east to west, and then rises and sets south to north to south again? God designed that. Now, the pagans, the Satan worshippers, the Wiccans, and everybody else, they worship on these days. Because they are servants to these stars and the moon and the sun. They're worshiping the creature instead of the creator. I don't worship the creature. I worship the creator that made the creation. And the more I learn about this stuff, the more I like this. Okay? Now, let me show you something else. Okay? I'm going to skip ahead here in my notes. Look at Psalm 19 again. Notice that he said, how did David know this? He noticed that he said in verse 4 that in them, meaning the heavens, he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Okay? How many months are there in a year? Who designed that? God did. Because man would have made it like 10. How many days are there in a week? 7. And it doesn't match up, does it? Days in a week, you think, well, there should be like 10 days in a week, so there could be like 30 days in the month, and so, but it doesn't work that way. The month is actually, the word moon and the word month, they come from the same place. Okay? In fact, I won't get into all this, but anyway, in Spanish, what's the Spanish word for Monday? Does anybody know? Spanish word for Monday. They don't call it Monday, they call it Lunas, which is named after what? Lunar. Okay? The month and the moon, the month is designed after the waxing and the waning of the moon, 28 days. Ladies, that should sound familiar to you, the waxing and the waning of the moon. God designed it that way. Okay? God designed cycles that way. But every month you go out at night, there is a different set of stars directly overhead. Also, every day during the month, the sun is in a slightly different position. If you notice, in wintertime, the sun hangs very low on the horizon, doesn't it? Okay? And driving into it is horrible. Okay? It just stays very low. Whereas, that's because, remember, it's in a different place. Whereas up here, okay, in the summertime, boy, it's high overhead. All right? God designed it that way. But all of this has to do with the tabernacle. There's 12 months in a year. 12 different stars in each different month directly overhead. How many tribes of Israel were there? You think that was an accident? You think Jacob had exactly 12 sons? And God went, wow. Look at how that worked. Because you know what God told Israel? You know what God told Abraham? He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. God had told Abraham that his offspring was going to be like the stars. Didn't he? Look at Genesis 22:17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. 12 months. 12 different star patterns in the night sky every single month. And exactly 12 tribes that God said would be exactly like the stars. Deuteronomy 10:22, thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. What is one of the meanings behind that? I want you to look at this. Up on your screen on the right is, you have the light of the world, the sun. You have the 12 different constellation arrangements in the night sky, one for every month. It's a different sky every month at night. I have apps where, this is so cool, you can get them for your phone or your tablet. If your phone or tablet has GPS and it has all that stuff in it like mine does, I have an app that when I hold it up to the sky, it tells me what direction I'm facing, and it tells me all the constellations that are directly overhead any time of day, and I can even look down and see the ones that are down. It's so cool. I love this stuff. Okay? I love seeing how God designed all of this stuff. But then over here on the left, you see the tabernacle where God dwells. And camped around that tabernacle were what? 12 tribes. Just like the stars of the heaven. Where the sun is as a bridegroom and he's going through the sky, which is his tabernacle. That's his house. That is the house of God. The house of God is always the same no matter where it is. And if you look here, on the deal here, there at the bottom is east. When the high priest went in at the Day of Atonement, once a year, to make atonement for the sins of Israel, he would go into the east with the blood and walk toward the west and then sprinkle the blood 7 times on the mercy seat in the western part of it. Just like Christ rising in the east, going down in the west, and what happened 3 days later? He rose again. It's a picture of the resurrection. Why God's mercy is new. How different every morning. You got a brand new set of mercies coming to you tomorrow morning about 5:30. I'd get up early just to get them. Look at that. The sun is in a tabernacle and is surrounded by 12 star configurations, and the tabernacle was surrounded by 12 tribes, and God said to be as the stars of heaven. I don't believe. Oh! It takes the army guys just a little bit longer. You get it now, amen? Isn't that awesome? Let me show you something else I found. I found this afternoon. I'll let you out with this one. Matthew 4:16. You're going to marvel. You're key. I'll just go ahead and say this. Here lately, God has just really... He's renewed my interest in the words of the Bible. I've asked him for that, and he's doing it. And I'm seeing things I never saw before. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Matthew 10:27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And I was reading that, Brother George, and I was remembering a story in the Bible where Jesus taught something at night. Does anybody know who it was? When I say it, you'll remember it. Nope. Jesus went to a certain man at night. Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night. Now remember, Jesus said, what I speak to you at night, you proclaim. And what's in John 3? What famous verse is in John 3 that everybody in this church knows? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that sweet? And we've been doing that for years in the daylight. What Jesus told Nicodemus at night, we've been proclaiming in the day for 2,000 years now. Not only that, but I just felt a nudge. Because I've been counting things more than I used to. Haven't done it in a while. And I've been finding things. But I have to wait on the Lord. So I decided, all the Word, turn to John 3. It's easy to do this. If you have software. John chapter 3, you'll see the words in red in your King James Red Letter Bible. See all those words in red in John chapter 3? I'll give a $50 bill. My wife will give a $50 bill to anybody who can tell me the exact number of words. It just makes sense to me. I counted the word, using the software, I counted the exact words in red that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. It's exactly 365 of those words there. How many days in a year? Who made that? Who put words in your Bible? See, I got little doodads standing up right now. I don't have much hair back here, but they're all standing up. You go home and read John 3 and find out what it is we're supposed to speak in the daylight. Amen? John 3:16 is the main one. But this Bible is unique. This Bible is right in everything that it says. If God tells you something in this book, I'm here showing you this stuff so you can believe what you read in your Bible. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to hit a day like I've had today. And I just got alone. I get away from people because I'm sour. And I get alone. I get my Bible out and I read it and I believe. And I tell God, God, I believe everything that I read here. I believe every word of it. Okay? There is a design to everything in the heavens. I've only shown you a little piece of it. There's a design to night and day and who's in the darkness. And didn't it occur to you that while half of the world is in light, the other half is in darkness? Okay? When Jesus said, know you not, there are 12 hours in the day, I always think, when I see that number 12, I always think tribes and apostles. Okay? And I'll touch on this more when I get back. I'm going on vacation next week. Okay? Don't panic. Okay? But when I get back, I'll touch on this more. Right now, we are in the light. Amen. Who's in darkness? 12 tribes. See, it's 12 hours of light here. It's 12 hours of darkness on them. And isn't it amazing that God took this country all the way on the other side of the world that is best friends with a country that right now is in the dark. And I hate what our president, our Secretary of State, and the United Nations did. I hate it. And I'm angry because my friends are in darkness right now. And I want them to have light. And they will, because you know what? It's all going to turn. Stand to your feet.